Peace be with you. Friends, I mentioned last week that during this Easter season, we are privileged to read from the writings of St. John. In the Gospels, we're hearing from that magnificent Last Supper discourse of the Lord. Those four chapters toward the end of John's Gospel, when Jesus gives us, as it were, his last will and testament. He's telling us what he wants us to know, what's coming from his heart the night before he dies. Our second reading for this week is taken from another of John's writings, namely his first letter. And it contains the line, which in many ways is the whole of Christian faith. If everything in Christian literature were destroyed, but these lines remained, we'd have, in a sense, the whole of it. Let me read to you from the second reading, from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten of God and has knowledge of God. The one without love has known nothing of God, for God is love. There's the line, that last one. For God is love. Mind you, not something God does, not even something God characteristically does or usually does, not even God's greatest attribute. Love is what God is. Which is why, of course, St. John tells us that if you don't abide in love, you know nothing of God. You could be the greatest theologian in the world. You could know all the data about God. You could know every bit of Christian doctrine. But if you're not a person of love, you won't know God, because that's what God is. We become so accustomed to this claim, I think, that we lose a sense of how revolutionary it is. It is, in fact, the distinctive Christian claim. Now, what does it mean? I know I've said to you before, love is not primarily an emotion, not primarily a passion or a feeling. It can be accompanied by emotion, passion, and feeling. Nothing wrong with those things. But that's not what love is. Love, as Thomas Aquinas said, is an act of the will. To love is to will the good of the other as other. Let me say it again. To love is not to have warm feelings about someone. That's fine. But to love is to will the good of the other as other. What's the game that we usually play? Well, I'll will your good, but so that it might redound to me, to my benefit. I'll be kind to you, so you might be kind to me. I'll give you something that you might give me something back. That isn't really love. That's more of a calculating move. To love is to say, I want your good, not mine through you. I have emptied myself to the point where you are now the center of my life. Now, in light of that, what does it mean to say God is love? It means that this willing the good of the other must exist in the very inner life of God. And Christians, this is the whole point of the doctrine of the Trinity. You say, all that terribly abstract doctrine of the Trinity, who understands it? Who bothers with it? It's simply a precise way of talking about what I've been describing. From all eternity, the Father others himself, gives himself away, looking to the Son. The Son, from all eternity, others himself and looks back in love to the Father. The mutual love of the Father and the Son is so intense that it constitutes itself a third divine person of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a shorthand way of talking about the fact that God is love. In the very interiority of his being, God is a looking to the other. What is creation? Creation is the result of the intensity of that love. Does God need the world? Of course not. Of course not. God has no need of the world. No need of you or me or anything in the world. God's perfect. God's love is intense and absolute. Yet, oddly, we are here. Christians, what does that mean? That means that we have been loved into existence. You see why? If God needed us, and go back to all the ancient philosophies and all the ancient mythologies, you'll find something like that. God or the gods needed us, so we were created for the purposes of God, so that God might be fulfilled or perfected. There's none of that in our faith. Thank God. There's none of that in our faith. We exist as the result of God's sheerly generous desire that we might share His life. That's why when you look around the world any day, you look anywhere around you any day, what you see are the profound effects of love. A world that need not exist, serves none of God's purposes, yet exists. How? Sustained every moment in existence by God. Herbert McCabe, the Dominican theologian, said, "The way a singer sustains a song, that's how God sustains the universe." And it's done out of a sheer act of love. Let me push it one step further. When does love reach its high point? When is love fulfilled? The philosophers say only when it can be received by someone able to take the whole of it in. What do I mean? I mean, if I'm giving myself, I'm giving myself away for the good of the other. That love reaches fulfillment only in that other who is capable of receiving it, of seeing and appreciating it. Let me give you an example. A mother loves her little baby. That's true. She wills that baby's good. It's a type of love. But, that love is not perfect. How come? Because that little tiny baby can receive only a tiny portion of the totality of the mother's love. Because the baby's cognitive capacity is so limited, because her emotional range is so narrow, because her experience is so limited, the little baby can only take in a tiny portion of what the mother wants to give. Now, the child grows. Now as a toddler, well, she can take in more of her mother's love. She can see more of it. Now she's a child. Now she's a teenager. She can begin to see more and more dimensions of her mother's love. Now she's a 20-year-old. Now she's a 45-year-old, and her mother is 70. Okay, now that she's reached a kind of equality with her mother, she's able to take in the fullness of her love, which is physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, in all its richness. It's only really an equal who can receive the totality of love. Why am I making this point? To say this. The fullness of God's love is on display only in the Trinity itself, where the Father is able to give Himself totally away. Listen now. To the only one who's able fully to receive that love, that's the Son. Because the Son is Himself an infinite divine person. The Son is able to receive and appreciate the totality of the Father's love and then to return it. The Trinity is where love in its absolute fullness is on display. Now, you might be tempted to say, well, that's interesting and that's great and that's great for God. But what does that have to do with me? With this, Christians, we come to the kind of dizzying poetry at the heart of Christianity. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that all those who believe in Him might have life in His name. God can have a kind of pity on the world. God can condescend to preserve the world. God can direct the world. But can God fully love the world? Well, not really, because the world couldn't possibly receive it. We'd be like a little infant vis-a-vis his mother. You know what I'm saying? The world is so limited in its capacity to receive God's love that it couldn't possibly take it in. Until what? Until the Son of God was sent into our flesh, became one with us, in order to draw us into His life, so that we might be loved with the same love with which He is loved. That we might be loved with the same love with which He is loved. The Father loves the Son totally, and the Son is able to take it in. Now we, through God's grace, have been grafted onto the Son. Therefore, we are not just creatures in relation to the Creator. We are now sons and daughters in the Son. Everything else is commentary in Christianity. That's the heart of it. We can now in Christ aspire to real friendship with God. Just as that little baby can't aspire to friendship, but when that baby grows up and comes of age, she can receive the fullness of her mother's love. Now in Christ, we aspire to real friendship with God, to share in the very life of God, to be loved with the infinite love of the Father. This is staggeringly good news. This is the gospel. Everything else is just sort of a footnote to it. This is the gospel. A couple years ago, I was part of an interreligious dialogue, Christians talking to non-Christians. And it reached a key point when we were asked, what does it mean to you to be a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Why not be some other religious adept? The answer I gave was, because I want to be God's friend. Could I be God's supplicant? Sure. Could I seek God's forgiveness? Of course. Could I be God's faithful creature? Of course, in any other religion. But listen, only in Christianity, where God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that we are grafted onto Him, only there can I now be loved with the same love with which the Father loves the Son. Now, I'm no longer a servant or a slave, but I'm God's friend. Christians, that I think is the full implication of what it means to say God is love. And God bless you.